Hey everyone, welcome to The Gathering. Thank you so much for worshiping with us, for tuning in, continuing to do that. I know some of you are new, or maybe you've been worshiping for just a few months. There's a number at the bottom of your screen, and I'd love it if you would text your name to that number. If you've never done that before, please do it. It's just a way for me to know that you've been worshiping with us. I'll send you a little bit more information about the church, ways that you can connect if you're interested, but I'd just love to know that you're here. So just text your name to that number. All right, the past 2 weeks, I've been watching political conventions. All right, 2 weeks ago, it was the Democratic National Convention. I watched that. This past week, I watched the Republican National Convention. And please don't freak out. I know some of you are already worried. I'm not going to talk about politics. There was just an observation that stuck with me from those conventions, and that is that politicians, office holders, they care a lot about their legacy, right? Like how they're going to be remembered. And this is especially true of presidents or significant office holders. I mean, they work really hard to shape or mold their legacy. Their opponents usually are trying to distort or assail how they're going to be remembered. But all of us, I think, care about how we're remembered. It's not just unique to politicians. I think to some extent, all of us care about our legacy. At some point in your life, I think you think about, like, how are people going to remember you? What stories are going to be told about you? Today, we're continuing this series, Wonder Women, where what we've been trying to do is tell the stories of significant women leaders in the Bible whose legacy, to some extent, has been forgotten or erased or distorted. And legacy was the word that came to mind, especially with regard to the person that I want to talk about today, because she was one of the leading disciples of Jesus, and yet she's largely been distorted and forgotten. And that person is Mary Magdalene. Now, really quickly, I want you to take a mental, just a picture, a snapshot of what image came to your mind right away when I said the name Mary Magdalene. Okay, just remember that. We're going to come back to it in just a second. But today, I want to tell you the story about Mary Magdalene because hers is a significant story in its own right in the Bible. But it's also a story that's been distorted in some really well-known and classic ways. And so it's important that we talk about the distortion and get back to what really Mary Magdalene's legacy was all about, because I think it's one that is so relevant, especially for the time that we're living in today. All right, so Mary. If you go back to biblical times, that name Mary was the most popular Jewish name for women in Jesus' time. In fact, scholars think that roughly 1 in 5 women were named Mary. That's a lot. I mean, it's kind of like Matt in 1977, like every other person was named Mary. And so it's no surprise that when you go to read the Bible, there's sort of Marys all over the place. In fact, Protestants and Catholics argue over this, scholars debate and have written books about which Mary is which. But when you read the New Testament, there's at least 6 distinct women with the name Mary that play a role in the story. But after Jesus' own mother, by far the most well-known of those Marys is Mary Magdalene. And we first meet Mary Magdalene early in the Gospel of Luke when she's first introduced. Let me read that beginning story to you. It says this. It says, soon afterwards, Jesus traveled through the cities and villages, preaching and proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom. The 12 were with him, that's the 12 disciples, along with some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had been thrown out, Joanna, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. Okay, really quickly, right here we learn something about Mary that was common of a lot of the women that followed Jesus. It says that she was someone that Jesus had healed really early in his ministry. She was probably a widow, very wealthy. It says that she not only followed Jesus, but she was an early funder of Jesus' ministry. Her name, by the way, appears throughout the Gospels more than almost any other name. I mean, save Jesus' own mom and maybe Peter, she's named more than even the male disciples. And the evidence is that she probably started following Jesus near the beginning. That name, Magdalene, comes from the place that she grew up, Magdala. It's a town on the Galilean coast, not very far from where Jesus probably lived when he was an adult in Capernaum. And so all the evidence is that she started early and she was a lifelong follower of Jesus. That is to say that she knew Jesus really well. But where her story is really prominent is toward the end of Jesus' life. In the stories about his death and resurrection, it's Mary Magdalene that pops up over and over and over again. So for example, at Jesus' death, when all the other disciples, the male disciples, had kind of fled and abandoned Jesus, the Gospels say that there were certain women who stuck with Jesus to the very end, that were right there at the cross when he was dying. And while the four Gospels differ about the women that were there, all four Gospels agree that Mary Magdalene was one of those women. Check it out. It says in John, Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood near the cross. Similarly, when you go to after Jesus' death, when he was buried, the story says that the men were locked away because they were scared they were going to get arrested too. But it was certain women that continued to serve Jesus by going to the tomb. Now, again, the four Gospels have differing details about which women were there, but all four of them agree that Mary Magdalene was one of those women. John again says this. He says, early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Mary Magdalene was the first person there Easter morning. When it comes to Jesus' first appearance and the person that gets to go back and share the good news of Jesus' resurrection with the male disciples, especially Peter, it's Mary Magdalene that's given that task by Jesus. Let me read one more passage from John. It says, Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, I've seen the Lord. Then she told them what he said to her. Now, if you read the Bible at all, you know that the four Gospels rarely agree on a detail. They all have slightly different versions of the story. So it's significant that while they disagree about all these other details, all of them say Mary Magdalene was there. She was there in the beginning of Jesus's ministry. She was there at the foot of the cross when everyone else had abandoned him. She's the one who went and served Jesus even after the disciples had given up hope after his death. She was the one entrusted with the first gospel, the good news, to go back to Peter and the other disciples and say, I've seen Jesus, he's not dead, but he's risen. Mary Magdalene, by all accounts, was one of the people who knew Jesus best, was closest to him, was in the innermost of inner circles when it came to leaders. She was one who probably knew Jesus's heart and ministry and teaching as well as anybody else. And she deserves the title that some people have given her as Apostle to the Apostles. And that really ought to be Mary's legacy. I mean, Mary Magdalene ought to be remembered as one of the leading disciples, male or female, that stood next to Jesus, that spread his teaching after he died and was resurrected. But that's not how we remember her. That's not what most of us think of when we say or hear the name Mary Magdalene. Now let me go back. Remember at the beginning of the message, I asked you to take that mental snapshot. Right now, I want you to say it out loud. You can say it if you're worshiping with other people. But what did you think of when I first said Mary Magdalene? What came to your mind? The truth is that it's usually two things. Mary Magdalene now is best known in one of two ways. One, people think of her as a prostitute. And that's the first image that comes to mind. I'll explain that in just a minute, why that is. The second thing is people think of her as some kind of romantic partner, a girlfriend, or a wife of Jesus. And these two things are related. By the way, both those things are false. Both those things are distortions of who Mary Magdalene really was. So how did they crop up? Why is it that we think of Mary in that way? Well, to answer that, I have to tell you a little bit of history. I think it's interesting, so I want you to stick with me. But back in the 500s, a long time ago, a pope named Gregory preached a sermon where he preached about Mary Magdalene, and he kind of confused and conflated her story with a few other women in the New Testament, one of those being a sinner that Jesus forgave, another being a prostitute. And even though there's no evidence, there's zero evidence that Mary Magdalene was any of these women, that association kind of stuck. And over the course of the next few hundred years throughout the Middle Ages, Mary Magdalene became known as this penitent prostitute that sort of abandoned her wanton ways in order to follow Jesus. Throughout the Renaissance, I mean, you can see this in the art. Mary is often pictured as this wildly seductive and, you know, beautiful woman, something that you can see in all the pictures. You're seeing some examples of that on your screen. The church has often used her to sort of warn men about women or to warn women of the power of their sexuality, their ability to seduce others. They've used Mary to encourage a sort of denunciation of sex and sexuality, to encourage women to be obedient followers of Jesus. There's been all sorts of warped ways in which Mary has been used to deny body or beauty or sexuality. Mary, in other words, became kind of a tool of the church to teach people to be penitent and to seek forgiveness, to be careful of their sexuality. Now, it took until the late 1960s, but the Catholic Church finally refuted this association of Mary Magdalene with a prostitute. But the association is really stuck, and a lot of us still have that image today. Even Dan Brown, you know, the author of The Da Vinci Code, kind of picked up on this theme and pictured Mary Magdalene as like a romantic partner of Jesus, his wife or something, which actually wasn't radical at all. That was to normalize Mary. What was radical is the idea that she was a leading disciple of Jesus. That's her legacy. That's what it ought to be. So why am I going on about this? Well, I'm going on about it first because it's an example of how so many women's stories have been distorted or erased or forgotten. But secondly, and more importantly than that, because I think Mary Magdalene really deserves an important place in our own reflection about the story of Jesus and his followers. She was a leading disciple, and I think her legacy is one that's really relevant for the times that we're living in today. So how should we remember Mary Magdalene? I mean, what is her actual legacy? You know, to answer that question, there's a word that comes to mind. It's actually a word used to describe God in the Old Testament. It appears over 200 times, and the word is chesed, and that's the Hebrew, but what it means is steadfast love. It's a particular kind of love that God has for people in the Old Testament. Steadfast love is a love that, you know, never gives up, it never gives in, it's always there. It's a love that sticks with it. And when I look at Mary Magdalene's story, that's what comes to my mind, that Mary Magdalene demonstrated more than any of the other disciples, chesed, this sort of steadfast loyalty to Jesus. I mean, think about it, especially against the male disciples. I mean, the male disciples were constantly getting it wrong. They doubted in the end. They denied Jesus. Some of them betrayed Jesus. They were locked behind doors out of fear. And against this backdrop, here we have Mary Magdalene, who from the very beginning followed Jesus. She was there when Jesus was popular and the crowds were pressing in. She was there when the crowds started to turn away and people started to deny Jesus. She was there when Jesus was arrested. She was there when he was beaten. She was at the foot of the cross, a few feet away from him as he was dying, the story says. And even after his death, when the others, especially the men, had given up hope and moved on, Mary Magdalene went out early in the morning to continue to serve and tend to Jesus. She was the one then that got to see the resurrected Jesus. She deserved to be entrusted with that first gospel message to take back. Mary Magdalene was always there. And to me, that's an inspiring legacy and one that's actually relevant for us today. You know, I think about the time that we're in right now and how Mary's story sort of informs it. And the word that we often use right now in the middle of the pandemic is hard, right? I mean, everything is hard right now. And we can own that. I mean, life's hard. If you're a parent, parenting is hard. Marriage is hard. Finances are hard. Work is hard for a lot of us. I mean, connecting with friends is hard. Mental health is hard. Everything right now is hard. And yes, church is hard. It just is. I admit that. So many of you have admitted that it's hard to worship Jesus over the TV or the computer. It's hard to stay connected that way. It's hard right now to be involved in a core group or stay connected to other people. It's hard to have a devotional life and give time and attention to Jesus. A lot of us just feel like pulling away. It's hard right now to give or to serve other people or to be obedient to Jesus. It's just really hard right now. And I think there's a part of us that just wants to be able to admit that it's hard. And that's good for us to be authentic about life right now. Like, we just want permission or grace because it's hard. And I think there are certain disciples that we can look to, especially the men, especially I think of Peter. Like, here was a guy that was always screwing up, who was kind of always getting it wrong, who stumbled his way, but Jesus always loved him. And there's part of me that just loves Peter because I can identify with him. He makes me feel okay about the ways that I fall short, about the ways that faith is hard for me, about the ways that I get it wrong. But then I'm reminded that there is a contrast. There's this other picture in the Bible of disciples like Mary Magdalene. And sometimes I think we also need Mary Magdalene. We need a disciple who reminds us that we can do hard things. We need a disciple who reminds us that we can be more than we're currently being. We need a disciple sometimes who gives us kind of a swift kick in the butt or calls us to be a better version of ourselves, who reminds us that our legacy is often made not when we follow Jesus in easy times, but when we follow him in difficult and hard times. And I think this is one of those seasons where we need that image of Mary Magdalene as someone who steadfastly followed Jesus, not only when it was good, not only when it was easy, but especially when it was hard. And so today, I want to leave you with that picture. I know faith is hard right now. But today, I want Mary Magdalene to inspire you. I want her to challenge you. I want maybe Mary Magdalene to call you to be a stronger and more resilient version of yourself. Maybe you need Mary Magdalene to remind you that you are more resilient. You can persevere. You're stronger than you think you are. Maybe you need that challenge to not drift away or give up just because we're in a season where faith is hard. Maybe we need Mary Magdalene to remind us that there is power in persistence, that even right now in this season, we are called to steadfastly continue to connect and follow Jesus. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, I am just today as we worship in awe of Mary Magdalene's selflessness, her courage, her commitment, her ability to stick with you even when times are tough. And right now, I think it's just a lot of us need to hear that challenge. Not in a guilt-producing way, but in an inspiring way that calls us to be more. And so today, God, let us receive the challenge of Mary. Let us reflect on her unwavering commitment to you, and may it inspire in us a desire to keep connected with you, even when it's hard, even when it requires work. We pray that you would give us that kind of faith, that kind of spirit today, and we pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.